Super sweet.
Yeah. That could have gone way south with my boys. Yep. Could have gone really bad. Yep. And for the record, don't ask me to make crappie. You can only get it in the Lake of the Ozarks, really, which is in Missouri. And I don't actually make it. I tell them we have fish like crappie when I make fish for them, so they'll eat it. Don't ask me to actually make crappie. So bless their hearts. All right. So thankfully, this is a unique meeting. You don't have to listen to Danielle and I talk all the time, every meeting. Usually we're up at the beginning and then we're done. So, but tonight we get the cool privilege of introducing the theme and talking about the goals for moms this year because we co-came up with it. So here we are. So 3 years ago, when Bethany came to me about becoming the coordinator for moms, I was humbled, simultaneously terrified. This group has... has continued to be a lifeline for me in some of my darkest moments as a mom. Especially I think about my postpartum year, like the whole year of postpartum, and I've had three of them. Awful. But I love moms because it's been a lifeline for me. It's also become an opportunity for me to be able to encourage and support new moms who are just starting that journey alongside me with my table. And one of the things that I was thinking about as we're coming up with a theme is that every day as moms, we find ourselves balancing this line between the confidence we have, we trust the Lord, right, and his plans, but also he's entrusted with us a big deal in our kids, right? And so we balance that. And that's not really that different from my role as a mom's coordinator. More specifically, when the process comes up for discerning and fine-tuning the theme, that's probably when I get to my knees the most and I really start to think about, what do we need? What's going on? What are we talking about? And so it brings me a lot of fear and trepidation because I don't want to drop God's ball. But it also brings me a lot of really great joy because in the process of coming up with the theme with Danielle, I get to spend a lot of time mercifully talking to the Lord and asking him what he wants for us. And so far, every year I've gotten to do this, he has given us a clear purpose and plan for what we're doing. And this year, no different.
Yeah.
Still. Good. Get it out now. All right, yeah. Repeatedly last year, Danielle and I, we walked away from mom's meetings at these meetings and then also our steering monthly meetings, just kind of praying for peace and comfort for our friends, our fellow mothers in the trenches, as they walk some really hard roads. And it was after one particular meeting last year in the winter that I had received prayer requests from my table, and I was pondering some of the heavier prayer requests that I had heard from the steering team, that I just wept on the drive home. I was overwhelmed. And in the days that followed, I did what I often do. I sat there and I thought, well, how can I fix it? How can I help them, right? How can I find the solution? How can I help them carry the load? How can I erase the hard for them, minimize the pain? And my husband's not shocked to hear that I couldn't do it. I had a newborn. I have two other kids at home. My husband's career is kicking off. My family is 800 plus miles away. They were going through struggles. We were going through loss of our own. And so as God often does, as I'm trying to do it all myself and trying to help my friends out, God graciously put in my path over and over again, rest. Find rest, accept rest. And that's what I wanted most for my friends. That's what I wanted for my table group members. That's what I wanted for steering when I prayed, when I cried with them. I wanted to find true rest for them. And so this led Danielle and I to begin tooling around with this particular topic for moms this year.
Yeah, so when Rachel came up to me last spring and said, you know, so I've been thinking through some theme ideas, and I want to know what you think, the moment the word rest came out of her mouth, I was like, yes, I need that. Mm-hmm. I was locked in. I honestly have no idea what she said after that. I just knew in that moment I had felt seen and seen by the Lord. It spoke right to my soul. I too was home with a young baby and my two girls, and the physical, emotional, and mental grind of motherhood was taking a toll on me, let alone all the other life burdens and stresses that came up. Don't get me wrong, I love being a mom. It's truly one of the greatest gifts that the Lord has given me. But man, it's hard. Whether you are pregnant with your first baby or pregnant with your fourth, all of us in this room, I see you guys nodding your head over there, all of us in this room know that motherhood can weigh heavy on us, and we seem to be in this constant cycle of needing and wanting rest because of it. Maybe you came here tonight feeling overwhelmed as a mom. You are being pulled in all sorts of directions and you can't seem to keep up. Or you are feeling overstimulated, constantly being needed and touched. Maybe you're here feeling fearful of the unknown or the what-ifs that lie ahead. Or you came here feeling with feelings of doubt and inadequacies as a mom. And maybe you are here feeling lonely in motherhood, desperately desiring adult conversation and friendship. I know that this is not an exhaustive list of the burdens that we feel in motherhood, but just like I felt seen by the Lord when Rachel presented the theme of rest to me, I hope you feel seen as well tonight. But ladies, what if I told you it is possible to lighten the burdens that we feel in life and specifically in motherhood and find true rest? When you think of the word rest, maybe you picture a long vacation, an uninterrupted nap, a movie night with your husband, or even getting your nails done. Now, all of those are wonderful avenues that the Lord uses in our lives. And trust me, I feel rest after I walk in nature, run in nature, or spend time on a date with my husband. But there is something even better than those things. Rachel is going to dive deeper into this in just a second, so I don't want to steal her thunder. But God's word tells us that if we seek Him, then He will provide the rest that we need. True, soul-satisfying rest is found in God alone.
Awesome. Thanks, Danielle. All right, so we're going to break down the text a little bit. I've taught Bible class here before, but I'm also a teacher by trade. I went to college for it. I love it. It's great. And so at your table, everybody has a copy of a half slip with the Bible verse on it. And mark it up. Write down notes on it. Mark up the text like we're going through. It just makes me, one, more comfortable that you're looking at your paper and not at me. Gives your hand something to do. Maybe you're somebody who brought a Bible tonight. Open up your Bible. Use your Bible app on your phone, what have you. But at least have Matthew 11, 28 to 30 in front of you so you can see it. If your table ran out, I'm sure there are some extras floating. Wave, and we can get extras to you. So there are extras if you need them. And as a reminder, you also have this verse on that sticker. The first verse, 11, 28, is on the sticker. I brought it up because I get dry, but you can put it on your water bottle. It's a great tool to help memorize the scripture. And at 2 o'clock in the morning when you're rocking a sick child or all the other things, it's really nice to have scripture on your mind to call to mind that there's somewhere else I can go for rest. And then also a plug, if you don't go to church here, you can listen to the sermons online. And if you do, this is great. In a couple weeks, you've probably noticed that Jesse is in Matthew 11. And nothing made me more excited to be breaking down the text in Matthew 11 than knowing that Jesse Johnson, our lead teaching pastor, is going to be having a sermon on it in a couple of weeks. So he'll do a great job. He's going to do it more thorough than me. And probably Jesse, because he does this, is going to find stuff that I'm like, okay, that's great. I didn't know that was there. So please, in a couple of weeks, be attentive that Jesse Johnson's going to speak on this too. And in my mind, repetition is king, right? That means God's clearly trying to tell all of us that we need rest. If he's putting it in moms, he's putting it in a sermon, and you're probably going to hear it several other times this year, as God's scripture does. So, again, Jesse will do better than me, but we're going to try. Look at the scripture with me, mark it up, analyze it. We'll read through it together first. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, at this point in the book of Matthew, right, we already kind of know the context, if you've been listening to the sermons, right, that this is Christ speaking. So if you have a red letter Bible, this is red in your red letter Bible. These are Christ's words, right? And he had previously, in verse 25, been actually talking about the Pharisees. And he was sarcastically rebuking the Pharisees because they started thinking of themselves better than they are, right? Thinking of that they're super wise, they know all the laws, they know what to do, right? God gave the laws to Moses in the Old Testament, and he gave them these laws, these tasks that we had to do, or we don't have to do, that his chosen people had to do to atone for their sins, right? To make up for all the sins that they had. And he gave it to them, right? To help keep them from sin. It's a merciful thing, but also to demonstrate to them their depravity. And if you've read Leviticus, it's a deep depravity that we're dealing with, right? But the leaders of God's people, these chosen people that really, God's chosen people, the Pharisees, over time, what they had started to do was to actually add to the laws. They were trying to, in an effort to kind of clarify for them, I don't know if y'all have homework assignments, you know, like the teacher gives you, write a paragraph about yourself, but I would like to know what specifically you'd like to know about me, right? Well, what does it mean to not work on the Sabbath, right? And so they started adding all these little bits and said, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. You can do this, but not this. And they'd made it so all those laws were empty and they just felt burdensome for the people. And so the Pharisees often actually, they started calling it the yoke of the Torah, right? And being part of a good Jewish person was carrying that burden and living out all the fine points of the law. So out of the heart of God's own son comes this great invitation. And that's the first word you see there, right? It comes from a place of Christ grieving over watching unbearable burdens being heaped on his people, and from his compassionate desire to bear their burdens with them, right? And still with us today. You can look at the text. He says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. All he says is come to me, right? Simply says, come. There's no do this, don't do this. Simply come. Jesus does not say, go, get yourself ready, complete all these different tasks, right? Make sure your baby's diapers are clean. Make sure you have no preservatives in your baby food, whatever. He doesn't say any of that, right? What he's asking them to do is simply to come. It's a merciful invitation for us to be in communion and in relationship with the living and active Savior, even still now today. And when we simply come to him, Jesus promises us, and you can see in the text too, and I would draw a little arrow, we come, we will receive rest. It doesn't say you might, you could. It says we will receive rest, right? And I just imagine how sweet it is when I get to spend time with my friends, right? Imagine how sweeter it is to get to spend time and have a relationship with Christ, accepting that abundant grace and mercy and seeking his word, right? There's also no qualifications, still in verse 28, right? No qualifications, no caveats. All, circle all. That's huge, right? He doesn't leave anybody out. All who labor and are heavy laden, that's everyone who hears him, right? If you acknowledge the weight of your sin, right? And for me, I acknowledge the weight of my sin, but also what he's saying, if you acknowledge the groaning pains that sin brings in our lives, if you acknowledge that the hard stuff you have to deal with day in and day out, the mental health issues, loss in family, infertility, your husband isn't what he was when you married him, name it, all those groaning pains, he also wants you to give that to him as well, right? And that's the heavy lady he's talking about. And so all those who heavy labor will receive rest. So that's great, Rachel, you know, but what does it mean? What does rest actually mean? How is he going to do that? Well, keep reading. He tells you. I love it when he just tells us point blank. He says, take my yoke upon you and you will find rest for your souls. By taking his yoke and giving ours to him, we will find rest for our souls. And the word rest here, I think it's nice. It doesn't mean we'll be rid of problems. It just says we'll be refreshed. We'll be revived. Right? As from labor, which is comical. All of us have had kids. We've labored, right? As from labor or a long journey. And Jesus promises rest to everyone who comes to him. In the Old Testament, rest is actually a common theme, but most often it's presented by the Lord denying his chosen people from rest if they choose to deny God as the one true God or ignore his laws and commands. So it makes sense that in this moment in Matthew, when Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees for helping heap all these unrestful statues on, that Christ offers help, right? He offers to take away these extra rules we don't have to follow, and he offers them true spiritual rest, the rest in Jesus himself, right? Jesus will give rest in his salvation, freedom from the taxing feeling of constant strife when we are learning to abide in him and rest in him. So how is it possible? How does he make that happen? Well, Jesus offers that those who hear him will take up his yoke. And I'm a history nerd, so I did get a little bit nerdy here and I went deep into this, right? But I like the visual of a yoke, right? And so I'm going to use Danielle. Okay, this is, I don't know who gets made fun of more in this part, right? So a yoke in Jesus' time is actually a double yoke, right? So you'd have one around my neck, one around Danielle's neck. And I jokingly told my husband, I initially had in here, it's a double wide. And Drew told me I couldn't use double wide because it referenced a trailer. And so he said that was not a good image to have. So it's a double yoke that you can call it, right? Mm-hmm. And so what you do is you put the two animals side by side with each other. Usually the younger animal, right? And she is younger, so she gets that, is paired with the stronger. I don't know. She's actually stronger than me, but stronger, wiser animal, right? And so Christ is saying this, and he says, do not be burdened by the demands of the laws, right? And honestly, today, the laws that we're burdened by, the ones we put on ourselves, but rather be in yoke with him, be in discipleship with him, learn from him, right? Be in relationship with him. He says to us, you, right, are the young, inexperienced ox, right? I am the perfect, Christ is the perfect ox that can do perfectly everything, right? And he says, let me carry this with you, right? We will walk together. You do not need to pull this alone. So by making this comment, he's giving this promise of a lighter yoke, right? It doesn't mean we won't experience hard circumstances, and that's not what we do in moms. We don't take away hard circumstances, right? We won't have to have commitments that need to be finished. We won't need be free from the demands that being a Christian has in this world today, right? No, what Jesus is promising is that he will carry the ultimate burden of our sin, guilt, pain, loss, heartache, shortcomings, you name it, and give us an eternal perspective. He says you'll find rest for your souls. Christ humbled himself and became a man so that he could be put to death and rise again in order to save us from our sin and the burden of the law. His death and resurrection gave us a way to rest in Christ. Through our relationship with Christ, when we come to him, we can depend on the certainty that our Heavenly Father will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And that's from Philippians 4:9. As we come into discipleship and trust in the one who bore our yoke and take on his, we'll learn of him and from him in the process. It's not an instant fix, but by God's kindness and mercy, we can find an eternal perspective and become more like him.
Yeah, so isn't what Rachel just said so comforting and encouraging to hear? There are four words that stood out to me as Rachel was walking us through Matthew 11, 20 through 30, and those were come, take, learn, and find. And I just want to take a moment to share what these commands from Jesus specifically look like for us moms as we desperately desire and need rest. So the first command is come. Jesus says, come to me. And as Rachel said, there are no prerequisites in coming to Jesus. And I feel like it's necessary to say this, as I repeatedly am telling myself this, but this means we don't have to have it all together to come to him. It's okay if the laundry's not done. It's okay if there are 20 dishes stacked in the sink. It's okay if there are kids playing and running and possibly screaming around you. All we need to do is come and make time for him. Ladies, the instruction is simple and so incredibly gracious. He wants us to turn our eyes away from the world, and instead he wants us to be in awe of who he is. The second command we hear is take. Jesus says, take my yoke. And later on, he tells us that his yoke is easy and the burden of his yoke is light. And as Rachel shared with us, his yoke is easier and lighter than the yoke of the Pharisees in law. I know I am guilty of this, but how often do we burden ourselves with more laws to keep up with? Maintaining a spotless home, making or buying preservative-free food, reading your Bible for 30 minutes a day where it doesn't count, or being back to your pre-pregnancy size within the first year postpartum. Just like the Pharisees added to God's laws, the world around you will add to it too. And if you aren't careful, you will begin to believe the lies that it tells about what you should do and who you should be. Thankfully, in God's kindness, he doesn't leave us to our own devices. Rather, Jesus gives us the third command, learn. We take Jesus's yoke and learn from him along the way. And I want you to think back to that visual that Rachel gave us of the two oxen and the yoke around their necks. Although they are side by side, one of those oxen is the leader, meaning the other oxen is learning along the way. And I'm sure that younger oxen felt frustration and physical pain as he learned not to walk too fast or too slow, but in step with his leader and companion. Now, I want you to remember those first few days after you brought your first baby home. Your home was quiet. Your baby slept, fed, and pooped pretty much on command. Things were going quite blissfully. Then week 4 hit, and getting up 5 times in the middle of the night wasn't so cute anymore. But then you hit that month, 3 to 4, and the baby starts smiling and cooing, and you see some of their fun personality. Do you see where I'm going with this? Yeah. Learning to be a mom to a little person can be exhilarating one moment and frustrating and painful the next. And just like we have learned to be a mom, we too will learn and grow to be more like Christ, one who is gentle and humble in heart. it's okay to let go of those expectations we often put on ourselves of how much time we spend reading our Bible, or when we do it, or even what it practically looks like. Jesus can and will transform you, even if you're in a season where learning from him looks like giving him just 5 minutes of your day, reading the same verse over and over. I've been there. And lastly, we see the fourth command, find. Jesus says you will find rest for your souls. Jesus promises us rest. And just like Rachel said, he doesn't necessarily say he's going to lighten the load by taking away our pain and struggles, but rather he says he will lighten the load through us coming to him, him teaching us and refining us along the way. Jesus too went through suffering, and because of that, he is able to sympathize with us and have compassion on us in our burdens and suffering. There is nothing that you have gone through, are currently going through, or will go through that Jesus cannot relate to, sympathize with, or encourage you in. Jesus is sufficient and is near to us. Hebrews 4:15-16 tells us, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Finding rest is not working harder, doing better, or simply unplugging from life, but running to the feet of Jesus, the one who is able to sympathize with us in our weakness and is able to transform us into his image. Our hope for this year together is that this is a place that you can come and bring those burdens that you're carrying, and that this is also a place that you leave feeling like your burdens have been lightened. Lightened through community and fellowship with the other moms in the room, through encouragement and wisdom from our mentor moms who have gone before us, and most importantly, through God's word. Ladies, it's our joy and privilege to serve as your co-coordinators this year and to be able to walk this journey of motherhood with you all. Our prayer for you and us this year is that we moms grow closer to Christ and find true rest for our souls in him. And for the sake of time, I'm going to tell you just in our newsletter that Lindsay's going to send out, we wanted to give you a little sneak preview of the topics that we're going to do this year, but we're going to do something else instead. And so look for that in the newsletter that Lindsay will send out.
Awesome. So Caroline Cobb has been to our church before.